Thank you, Lord. My goodness. Now, do you hear the words that you sing? When you sing these words, do you hear those words that you sing about? Huh? And I really want to lift that up to you, that I want you to not only sing as we worship, but I want you to think about what you're singing, okay? You know, that's always a good practice to do right there. You know, and we talked about so much about the joy of the Lord, right? The joy of the Lord. You know, about the most familiar scripture that we know is the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's in Nehemiah. You know, but I want you to know that that's one of the great blessings of knowing the Lord. That's one of the great blessings of walking with the Lord. That's one of the great blessings of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, and I want to tell you, you know, that's not my message, but I got to be honest with you. You know, a lot of things that we call being filled with the Spirit, I'm not so sure that it really is being filled with the Spirit. You know, being filled with the Spirit is truly being filled with the Spirit, okay? You know, and there's the power of God comes into your life. You know, and the power of God is more than speaking in tongues. I speak in tongues. I love the gift of tongues, all right? I love it. Now, I don't love it because I got it. I love it because I utilize it, okay, for what it's meant for, right? What it's meant for. First of all, to the believer, it's a great equipper for prayer and intercession. You know, enables you to pray and intercede in ways that through your flesh and your intellect that you have barriers that you can't overcome. Any person who gives themselves a prayer will all of a sudden realize barriers that they've got and frustrations that will come up in their heart, you know, because they're unable to express themselves in the way that they would like to be able to express themselves. And the reason is because they're operating out of their intellect instead of operating out of their heart. They don't know how to operate out of their heart. All they know is their intellect. They think walking with God is through the intellect. It's not through the intellect. It's through the heart. Scriptures makes this abundantly clear over and over and over and over. You know, but in all of that, you know, there's more to being filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the great blessings of coming and being filled with the Holy Spirit is the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Just being filled with the joy of the Lord and such great keeping power, such uplifting power, such overcoming power that comes into your life, right? That comes through the joy of the Lord. We sing about the joy of the Lord. Sometimes we rejoice in church, but the joy of the Lord is for more than just being in these four walls right here. It's an equipping power of God for you to be able to cast things away, for you to be able to rise above, for you to be able to trust the Lord, for you to be able to put things into the hands of God. And I could go on and on and on about that. I don't know why that just struck me so much about the joy of the Lord. And all I want to do in finishing just talking about that is know, want you to know that it belongs to you and the Lord Jesus Christ. The joy of the Lord belongs to you and the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer for you is that you may have it, that you may find it, and that you may enjoy the Lord through the work of joy. How wonderful it is to enjoy the Lord. Oh, well, I better get going, huh? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going back to the message that I've been on. This is the third part. You know, what does it mean to go forward in Jesus? What does it mean to go forward in Jesus? And we're looking at many various aspects of what that really means about going forward in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got so much for you and me. You know, he's got so much for you and for me. And I don't care how many years that you've been walking with the Lord. I've been walking with the Lord for a few years, a lot of ups and a lot of downs, a lot of trials and a lot of difficulties and a lot of glory and a lot of grace, a lot of abundance in so many different ways. This is what it means to walk with the Lord, right? You know, but no matter where you are in the Lord, you know, I hope that you realize that he has more. He's got more that you've never touched on. He does. He's got more. He's got more than you have not even touched on. You know, it's not one of those things, been there, done that. You know, without the life of the Holy Spirit, that's what it becomes. It becomes doctrine. It becomes church attendance. It becomes a regiment. It comes traditions. And that takes over the life of the Spirit, you know, and replaces it. And then we don't know the life of the Spirit. And so, you know, been there, done that becomes the mentality and the attitude, you know, that we take on. You know, what a terrible thing, because that's not a relationship. That's not walking in a living relationship. That's what belongs to you and Jesus, is a living communion and a living fellowship and relationship. I'm not talking about rhetoric. I'm not talking about churchy words. I'm talking about a true relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may walk with him and that you have fellowship with him and that you may know him. This is what the Lord has for us, and he's always got more. You know, and the way that you find more is that you begin to realize that and you begin to reach out for it. If you will reach out for more, you're going to find more. Okay? I mean, that's just, it is. You know, the evil one always wants you to settle, right? You know, to settle, okay? Just settle. You know, and you never really go forward. You don't really go forward. You don't find more. More of what? More of him. More of him. Where he makes himself known to you. You know, so reach out with all of your heart and believe upon the Lord. So as we do that, we're coming back here to this place, and I'm going to read the scripture again. I've read it, you know, each time, and our foundational scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, talking about the promises of God. And this is what we find in verse 20. It says, for as many, and he's talking about the promises, and I want you to see this, for as many as may be the promises of God in him, that's in the Lord Jesus Christ, in him. And these are just completely undeniable words that are spoken to you and I. In him, they are yes. Everybody say yes. Yes. You know, you ever had your child to come up to you and say, hey, daddy or mama, can I go do this or can I do that? And, you know, and you say yes, you know, right? You say yes, you know. Could we do this or could we do that? Yes. You know, and so do you understand that this is what the word of the Lord says to you and I, that as many as may be, as many as me, that means it covers them all, as many as may be, that covers them all, everybody say all, that covers all the promises of God. You know, that says that in him, and that's a big, important point to you and I, because they're not found in ourselves. They're not found just naturally flowing. They come by fulfillment, by the power of God, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're found in him. They're in him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. All right? When you're asking for promises before the Lord, you know, your intellect will always take you to places that defeat you. It'll take you to places that will defeat you. Like, well, you know, you'll begin to speculate. Well, I can't see how. Okay. Well, good. And that just shows your limitations, right? Maybe you ought to put your eyes back on Jesus, back upon the promise of Almighty God. And part of the promise of Almighty God is that all of the promises, as many as may be, all the promises of God in him, they are yes. Okay? And that's the starting point of believing. Right? That's the starting point of believing. You know, the evil one's going to challenge you every single time that you take up the covenant of God, the covenant promises of God. That's what this is right here. You know, the covenant promises of Almighty God that have been inaugurated through the holy, righteous blood of Jesus. Why are they yes? And why are they amen? And because they're inaugurated and established through the integrity of the holy, righteous blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the integrity of the promises of God. Not based upon what you feel that day. Not based upon what you think about it. You know, take every thought captive. Have you ever read that before? Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean to you? I guess it ought to mean to you and I that, you mean that I might have some thoughts that are opposing? They're of the opposite? That are not of alignment with the promise of Almighty God? You know, that I may have fiery darts come to me to try to rob me, hinder me, cheat me out of what God has given me and promised me in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a war going on, okay? You know, there's a war going on. Get into the battle, right? Okay? Get into the battle. Ignoring it is not going to make it go away. All right, ignoring the battle is not going to make it go away. You know, but being aware, and then the Holy Spirit, what he does, as you rely upon the Holy Spirit, and as you believe upon the Lord, and he leads you. I mean, we talked about that in this series right here, that we've seen that we're not talking about you and I carrying the burden to stand and to believe and to receive. We're talking about relying upon the Lord. I play my part, but I'm relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, He has been given to us to cause us to come in to the completion and the fulfillment of all that God has promised us in Him. All right? That's what the Holy Spirit is to do. And so we need to rely upon that promise that God has given us, and we believe upon the Lord, and we just rest in God. You know, and one of the things that He'll do is He'll give you a spirit of discernment. He'll show you attacks of the evil one. You know, the evil one keeps throwing things at us in one way or another. First of all, he tries to keep you from ever being saved. That's the first thing he does. He's not done with you just because you got saved. You better not sit down and rest on your laurels either, because you're liable to lose what you got, all right? You have to walk with the Lord. This is a covenant fellowship and a covenant relationship with the Lord. Covenant's based on relationship. And so we enter into that relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're led by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God will lead us every step of the way, and He'll show me the way, and the keeping power of God will be upon me. It won't be of myself. It won't be because I got confidence in a doctrine, but my lifestyle is completely different from my doctrine, but I'm okay, and I'm filled with a false peace. Ooh, that's a scary place to be. You know, no, it's because of the reality of the Lord and the power of God and the real true keeping power of God, you know, that I put myself into the hands of Almighty God and that I walk in a fellowship and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, well, Pastor, you know what you're talking about. You're preaching works. No, I'm not preaching works whatsoever. I'm preaching grace, but it comes through a yielded heart. You don't get saved until you yield your life. You don't get saved until you, if you didn't yield your heart, you didn't get saved in the first place. Right? You're not just walking down the street and then zappo, oh, you got saved, right? No, you cooperated with God, or right? You cooperated with God and you gave your heart, okay? You yielded to a fellowship and a relationship. Who did all the work? The Lord did all of the work, but you did do the yielding. Yes, you did. You did the yielding. And so that's what it means to have a relationship and a fellowship with the Lord. And that's where you and I find the real, true keeping power of Almighty God in our lives is what He's looking for. We're not working it out. We're not working holiness out. We're not working sanctification out. I mean, we're working it out because we're walking with the Lord working it out, but we're not working it out through our own flesh. It's because we're yielding. That's how you have relationships. You know, with your heart. You give your heart to Jesus, then you confess it with your mouth. Have we ever read that? Right? Okay. We know that, right? You know, so, you know, I don't care what kind of trap you get in. I don't care how low you get. I don't care what happens to you in any form or fashion. You know, I don't care what takes place. You have the ability to cry out to God. You know, and He will bring you out of whatever it needs that you need to be brought out of. But there's a spirit of the Lord comes and gives you discernment and begins to lead you and I down the pathway of how that we obtain these promises. He will show you the traps along the way. He will show you what you are prone to. Are you hearing me there? Because I hope that, you know, you're kind of a little aware. If you're not, you ask the Lord to make you aware. And what you're prone to, and what I mean by prone to fall into, prone to by traps, prone to be tempted, prone to be defeated, prone to give up, prone to fall into a spirit of unbelief, prone to be distracted. And that's one of the great works that the evil one uses. It's like, he's like, I'm going to raise you up, son. I'm going to raise you up, daughter. I got purposes for you. That comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to raise you up in those things. And then you're prone to busyness and distractions. And then here he comes. He brings it on, the busyness and the distractions. And here you go. And then you just now got robbed. And a lot of times some people in such a situation didn't even know they'd got robbed. Then when we get quiet before the Lord, we cry out to God, why don't I see more? Right? Lord, then like this doesn't seem like I ever grow. Why am I not growing? Right? Okay. And we go through those cycles. We do. I mean, it's all part of growing in the Lord, maturing in the Lord. But as we press on, the Holy Spirit will give you that discernment. You know, that discernment. And you'll see those things. You'll see those things that are tempting to you, that are designed against you. And the Lord will lead you into victory over them. He'll lead you into victory over them. And then all of a sudden, you break the cycle. You break the cycle. You know, glory to God, huh? You know, glory to God. You know, and where the Spirit is leading you and I is leading you and I to the fulfillment of the promises of Almighty God. You know, when we talk about promises right here, you understand that what we're really talking about, we're talking about the covenant of the Lord. You know, salvation is on the basis of a covenant, okay? And covenant is a fellowship and a relationship with pledges or conditions, with promises, okay, that come with it, and conditions for fulfillment. This is a covenant. It's a relationship. It's based on a relationship. All right, now, one of the things, like, for example, did you know that we were mindful of it today? You know, I'm going to read this to you. Remember, it says here, we took communion, as we call it, in the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup, listen, this cup, what is that cup? Okay, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Isn't that what it said? But we hear those things and we take communion. We don't even know halfway time what we're even really doing. I had a person one time say to me, they said, I used the word communion, you know, and they said, oh, you all take communion? Yeah, we take communion. Oh, okay. You don't take the Lord's Supper? What do you say? Right? Now, you know, because that's the way it is. This kind of church group has communion, right? You know, and this kind of church group over here, they have the Lord's Supper. And neither word is used in Scripture in relationship to what we're doing. What are we doing? We're remembering the covenant. I just read it, didn't I? You know, what happened on the cross? Through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he died for my sins. Yeah, he sure did. Well, he rose again that I can have eternal life. Well, yeah, he sure did. You know, but what more did he do? What did he do? Well, he said and announced it right there before he went to the cross. He said, this is the new covenant in my blood. So what happened was a new covenant was established. Is that right? Or am I going too far? That's what the word says, right? You know, it's very difficult to understand how to walk with God when you don't have even a hint of concept. And we don't teach as much in church about walking in covenant with Almighty God. You know, but that's really what happened. And what were they celebrating? They were celebrating what? The Passover. Isn't that what they were celebrating? You know, and so what we find here in the word of the Lord is that we understand what Jesus was declaring is that I am your Passover. Right? I am your Passover. You know. The Passover was when they came out of Egypt and a death angel came upon them, you know, and they were to smear the blood on the doorposts, right? All these were types of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they ate, right? They ate of the Passover lamb, right? Isn't that what they did, you know? And then Jesus refers to in Scripture, you know, unless you eat my flesh, right, that you have no part of me. And they were offended, weren't they? You know, you and I read it, you know, and we think, what in the world is he talking about? But they knew exactly what he was referring to. They knew exactly, and they knew that he was referring to covenant. They knew it. They knew it. And they knew if you do not come to make covenant with me, right, then you shall perish and you may not inherit eternal life. You know, and then also a picture with that is what it means to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? You know, because when they ate of that Passover lamb, you know, the what of that lamb goes throughout your whole being, doesn't it? Right? You know, you take it on as nutrition or whatever, right? You know, goes throughout your whole being. It goes throughout your whole being as a type and a picture of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Right? It's a type and a picture of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, so many want, you don't want to take him as Savior, you know, but don't take him as Lord. You know, how silly is all of that? How silly is all of that? You know, take him as Savior. I want to go to heaven, but I don't really want him ruling over my life. I don't want to walk after the Spirit. I really want to walk after the flesh. I don't want to really be godly. I really want to be worldly. That's what you're saying. That's what you're saying. Who in the world in their right mind would turn down the Lordship of Jesus Christ? You know, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. That's what the scriptures say. You know, so I sanctify him, Lord. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he works out that sanctification in my life. I sanctify him as Lord in my heart. That means that at every point, at every place, and at every turn that I'm in life, and I'm confronted with the opposite way that is the way of the Lord, then I have already made the decision in my heart which way I am going to go. I may falter. I may fail. But even if I fail, I'm going to get back up and go on because I can't go any other way. I've sanctified Christ as Lord in my heart, right? You know, I just can't go any. I don't care how many times I fail. And it doesn't matter. I have no other choices. I have no other choices. As the disciple said, Lord, where would we go? Right? Where would we go? You know, after coming to know you, after beholding you, after experiencing you, my goodness, you know, where in the world, you know, would we go? But, you know, when these people that want to slice up and dice, you know, salvation, you know, over here, being saved over here, Lordship of Jesus Christ over here, and they want to do all that, and all of their fine lines of doctrine that have no power to it. Why? Because you don't want to commit everything to Jesus, that's why. That's what Lordship means. Why would you ever turn down the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Again, the Spirit sanctifies you. Are you with me? The Spirit sanctifies you. But you're the one that does the what? Here we go again. We're coming right back to it. You're the one that yields. He'll do all the work. You know, so that's what we're talking about. You know, Jesus came out of a covenant fulfillment. He came out of a covenant fulfillment because he was promised in the covenant with Abraham. That happened in Genesis chapter 22. At that particular point, Galatians chapter 3 refers to all of that as well. And what was that? That he came as a covenant promised to Abraham. You know, because God was obligated by covenant because he had entered into covenant with Abraham. Jesus was the fulfillment, is the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. How did that come about? Because God told him to take Isaac and go a three-day journey and to sacrifice Isaac to him at that point. And, you know, and it says also in Hebrews chapter 11 that when Abraham went along the way, Hebrews 11 says that what was the mind and the state of heart of Abraham was that he believed that God could even raise a man from the dead. And so because of what he believed, and he meant and he was going to obey God fully. Don't make no mistake about it. He was going to obey God fully, but he was not fearing and fretting and crying and falling apart and all of those other things. No, he believed that God could even raise a man from the dead because he knew that God couldn't lie, and he knew that Isaac had been given. Isaac came as fulfillment of a promise. He and Sarah couldn't work it out. Right? And how, you know, do you get that? In those beautiful pictures for you and I, and that's all the pictures of the grace of God for you and I, you know, right there. You know, why in the world was all that delay? Why didn't he let, in the natural way, Abraham and Sarah be able to conceive? And why did he wait until they got to the place where they had no power whatsoever to be able to do anything in any form or any fashion Well, I hope you like that picture. Boy, that's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Right? You know, get to the place. I'm telling you right now, God will do that in you, all right, through some of your frustrations, and then you start feeling weak. I don't know, but I don't like feeling weak, you know, but it'll bring, it's a death that's coming, but you're going through the working of the cross by the power of the Holy Spirit, because the way that you get the resurrection right, life, is all through coming through the alignment with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We die to ourselves, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, death to the flesh, and then we're raised in the likeness of His resurrection. And I'm not just talking about the sweet by and by. I'm talking about the way of the Spirit. And then you become more walking after the way of the Spirit, because that's your inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're no longer in the flesh. All right, just read a little bit in Romans 6, and you see it very clearly. I'm not in the flesh. I'm not in the flesh. I'm in the Spirit. That's where I am, okay? That's where my life is. That's where my life is being found. That's where I'm alive now unto the Lord, right? Okay? You know, and the way that you experience these things is that you take them up by faith and you believe upon them. You don't experience, they're your inheritance, but what you have to do, what I have to do, is take the covenant of the Lord, and we begin to act upon the covenant of the Lord. You have to be proactive in believing God. You have to be proactive in believing God. You can't be passive. You can't just exist as a Christian. You got to go forward. You got to get a little militant, if I may say, all right? You need to be a little bit militant. And, you know, when you got a hungry heart, you'll get militant, right? You will get militant. And, you know, and then you will be able to call on God, and then you will be able to start receiving things, and then you'll begin to stand on things, right? You know, because you cry out from the heart. You know, that ho-hum heart gets nothing. Nothing. A ho-hum heart gets nothing from God. Okay? Oh, well. We love to get so pious, you know. If it's the will of the Lord, if it's the will of God, I can tell you what the will of God is, and the will of God is the promises of God. Right? The promises of God. Now, that doesn't mean that I got to answer as to why this happened and why that didn't happen or nothing else. Everybody's got to walk with God on their own, okay? And the only one that knows your heart is you and God. And all of your brothers and sisters around you do not know all of the things that are in your heart. Just because you're sitting here today doesn't mean that we all know what's going on in your heart. But I'll tell you who does know. Number one is you, because God will let that be made known. And number two is the Lord. He knows exactly your positions that are going on in your heart. So we love to judge things on the surface. Okay, what an indictment against God. When you come against the promises of God, you know, and you say that they're null and void. God doesn't do that. God doesn't always do that. What an indictment. Even if I don't understand, I'm not going to make an indictment against the promises of God. Are you following me there? There's a lot I don't understand. There's a lot I don't understand. But just because I don't understand it doesn't mean that it has not been given in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm sorry. I have to call that arrogance or just uninformed. I don't know. But, you know, the starting place of receiving the promises of God is believing what the Word of the Lord says about the promises of God, right? And what does the Word of the Lord say about the promises of God? Well, it says in verse 20, as many as may be the promises of God. Now, I don't think any of them are excluded there, do you? You know, as many as may be, you analyze it, okay? And then the next phrase, it says, In him, as in Jesus, in him, they are yes. Well, let me give you. So we know that Jesus was given as fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant And even though that the evil one had taken dominion away from Adam because Adam gave it up freely, right? He had been given dominion. Now, you know, God does everything justly and legally. You know, that's how God works because he's holy. Because he's holy. You know, so how could he send this Redeemer? After all, the evil one got dominion from Adam. Because Adam had been given dominion. How in the world could Jesus come? How could a Redeemer come justly, legally, with the condition of things as they were? Through the covenant of Abraham. Because Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And when he took Isaac to be sacrificed, he believed that God would not take Isaac away because God had given Isaac. And God was not going to take Isaac away. I don't care what I see. Okay? I don't care what I see. He's not going to take Isaac away. Right? Because God gave him to me. Right? I hope this is ringing in your ear about some other things. Right? Okay? In your life and in the promises of the Lord. Right? And circumstances and how circumstances can appear and the like. And how God will even take you and lead you through circumstances of a difficult nature or whatever it would be. But this is where Abraham stood, is that he believed, he knew that God could not lie. He knew that he had was a promised child. He came out of promise. He came out of promise. He was manifested out of promise. He wasn't manifested out of the natural. He was manifested out of promise. And he knew that even if he brought the knife down upon him, and that's exactly what he was going to do, because he was going to obey God in what God told him to do, no matter what. I hope you hear that. That God will test us, right? Okay, so he's proving things in our hearts, but they may not end up the way that it appears, at least at the moment, because God has the final say. And so Abraham knew, no matter what he was, if he brought the knife down or not, Isaac was a child of promise. And so he believed that God would even raise one from the dead. And look at the picture. Abraham has the knife up, doesn't he? Right? And the Lord calls out to him, Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. And then Abraham notices a ram in the thicket. God provided for himself. And this was all covenant, you know, because when blood is shed, because the life is in the blood, you know, the innocent life for the guilty one, the innocent life for the guilty one, that innocent blood was shed because God designated the life is in the blood. This is sacred. This is sacred. God made it sacred because life comes from God. So life is sacred. And so the blood was sacred. And so it becomes a sacred sacrifice. It becomes a sacred sacrifice recognized by God. And so this is how, ever since the garden, when they were thrown out of the garden, you know, we have been walking in covenant agreement with God. Covenant fellowship. And then Jesus comes to make a new covenant. And that's what's been given to you in the Lord. I'll just read a little bit here, if you don't mind. I'll close it up. You know? And it's when men make covenant all through the traditions of men and all through, you know, the Old Testament and the like and on, you know, what you find here is that, number one, is that there would be a covenant exchange, a covenant exchange. Number two is that you know, provisions for provisions. Here's a scripture in a second Corinthians 8:9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And of course, talking about riches or talking about prosperity, you know, those words and those teachings are undeniable in Scripture, but they've been marred and twisted and turned to mean something else other than what they mean. And so Christians shy away from those things, those that love the Lord, like prosperity, because, you know, it's been twisted and turned to mean a dollar bill, you know. Now, God will bless you in your finances, but it means a whole lot more than a dollar bill. And there are things that are in your life that are a whole lot more important than a dollar bill, right? Yes, yes, we know that. You know, so I want you to hear that. You know, so we don't shy away from the promises of God, no matter how much they've been abused by others, right? Okay, that's an old trick from the evil one. You know, number three is there's an exchange of weakness for strength. And we just saw that, is that he took on our poverty. There's no greater poverty than sin and death. That's the greatest poverty there is, right? Because you have no future. You may have barrels of money. You may have barns full of money, but you have no future. You have no future, right? You know, because that's poverty. That's poverty, you know. And he took on our poverty, right? This is covenant. He took on our poverty that we might find his riches, right? Yes. If you're in Jesus, you're rich. And the greatest of all riches is righteousness and eternal life. Now you got a future, right? You know? I mean, I'm not taking away God blessing you financially. Okay, I doubt if there's a single person in here that does not want to be blessed financially, okay? All right? You know, I'll bet you there's not a one of us in here, right? But there's a difference between, oh, Lord, you know, bless me. We may even pray about it, right? Oh, goodness, if you don't believe in prosperity, why are you praying so sinfully? Huh? Why are you praying so sinfully? You know, you don't believe in prosperity, but you'll ask God to bless you. You better stop. Better stop that stuff. Now maybe we can say, maybe I'm wrong in my thinking. Maybe there's something wrong in my thinking, right? You know, so, but prosperity is more than a dollar bill. We know that, all right? And, you know, then number four here is about the covenant is along with exchanges, there's also pledges that are made. And that's the promises. The promises are the pledges of the covenant. And then here, I'm closing this in a minute here. Number five is then there were conditions for fulfillment. Well, yeah, that's exactly right. I'll get into more conditions later, but, you know, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's the condition there? Calling upon the name of the Lord, right? Is that a condition? What's the promise? You shall be saved. It's all through Scripture. There are promises, and then there are conditions for fulfillment to promises. What is that? That's covenant fellowship and covenant relationship. All right, you know. And now here, just a couple more I'll give you here, real quick here. You know, Hebrews 7:22. So much the more, also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. You know, this is the new covenant in my blood, as we read. And then right here, it says in Hebrews chapter 7 that Jesus is the guarantee of a what? Of a new covenant. This is what you enter into in salvation, is a covenant fellowship and a covenant relationship. Okay, you know, then let me give you another one. Here's another one about covenant. Number six here I'll give you is this covenant was not only an agreement between the two original parties, but extended to their heirs. You know, that's why you find in Hebrews 9:17 it says, for a covenant. Funny how the New Testament talks so much about covenant. We just don't talk about it much in church. Okay, for a covenant is valid, listen, only when men are dead, for it is never in force while the one who made it lives. That is Hebrews 9:17. You know, and then let me read this, and this is Romans 8 and part of 16:17, that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also. Heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. That's an inheritance, right? As an heir. The covenant was made between God the Father and God the Son. Jesus agreed to fulfill the will of God. Fulfill the will of God. That's why part of, and I'll bring it about in another teaching, and that is that this is the heart that God gives the believer, is to do the will of God. If you have the heart of Jesus, then you have the heart to do the will of God. If you do not have a heart to do the will of God, I question whether you even know Jesus or you've ever been saved. Okay. Because that's the heart that you receive, is to do the will of God. You receive the heart of Jesus. What is the heart of Jesus? First and foremost is to do the will of God. Father, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. Right? Now, you have to hammer that out in the Holy Spirit, okay? But see, that crying out again, that yielded spirit, that this is what I want. I may be doing the opposite, but this is what I want. Right? Are you with me there? Kathy, want you all? Come on. Right? The will of God. You can't stand to not live for the will of God. You know, and then when you're not in the will of God, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? You repent. Is that right? You know, that's why spiritual people, okay, it's not the babes in Christ that live in repentance as much as it is the mature. Mature. They live in repentance. You know, why do they live in more repentance? I'm not saying that they're consumed with it, but they practice repentance. You know, when you're a young believer, you do a lot of things that are not of God, and you don't even aware they're not of God, right? And you just blunder right on through, not having a mind of even knowing whether that is of the flesh or whether that is of the spirit, whether that is right or whether that is wrong, right? And then there's this awakening that goes on in you, right? And it's called spiritual maturity. And then all of a sudden, things that you used to never even question that you did, all of a sudden you're going, oh, wait a minute. Maybe I better not be doing that, right? Or you get convicted over things that you've never been convicted before. You've been doing them forever. Why aren't you, where were you ever convicted before? Right? You know, that's the Holy Spirit. That's spiritual maturity, right? You're growing, right? You know, a lot of times we think, well, that's not really the way I wanted to grow. I didn't really want to grow under conviction, you know. You know, I had other things in mind, okay, about growth. You'll get there. We will get there. It'll come. But this is what the Spirit of the Lord does, you know. And so, you know, you have a keen heart, a keen heart. Spiritual maturity is a keen heart to things that are pleasing to the Lord and things that are not. That's spiritual maturity. Not if you can quote all the books of the Bible. You know, you don't have to be saved to do that. All right? You don't have to be saved to quote all the books of the Bible. All right? But to be convicted about minute things in your heart, yes. Yes. And to see them as God sees them, oh, that is spiritual maturity. That's called the love of God. Isn't that neat? Mm. This is what the Lord does. This is what He brings us into.
Amen.
Why is that? What's operating in my heart? And I'll close with this. A heart to do the will of God. Simple. Simple. Just walk with Him. Walk with Him. Walk with Him. Just walk with Him. I'm going to pray right now, and I'm going to ask the Spirit of the Lord to remove any obstacles that are in your walk, okay? And whether those obstacles are outward things that may be a practice, or whether they're inward hindrances inside of you. This is the day of freedom and liberty because you have promise from Almighty God, right? This is the day of freedom and of liberty because you have promise in Almighty God that He will make you more than what you are within yourself, okay? Right? And what you cannot do as Abraham and Sarah couldn't, He will birth into your life. out of promise. Because you believed him. How about that? Because you believed him. Oh, Father, right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, I just want to thank you for removing every hindrance and every obstacle, Father God, right now that comes against the saints of the Lord. Those outward manifestations that, Father God, and Lord, their source of power, be made void and nullified now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
I plead the blood over that right now. I plead the blood over that. And that hindrance right there, that practice right now, that in the name of Jesus, that it be removed. And in every hindrance of heart and the things that, Father God, that many times that we think that we'll never get over, many times that, Father God, things that go on, that, Lord God, that, Lord, we find ourselves doing them, thinking them, feeling them, before we're even really fully aware of them. And then we wonder, Lord God, how we ever come out of it. Let them be removed now in the name of Jesus. Let them be removed now in the name of Jesus. I want to thank you, Father. I want to thank you now for lifting up the righteous, the holy ones, the saints of God. I want to thank you right now for bringing about the fulfillment of promise, because we rest in you. We rest in you because they, in Him, they are yes. And I thank you for that. Right now, Father God, thank you for bringing about the abundance of life and grace, of promise and glory in the lives of the holy ones. In the mighty name of Jesus.